Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I've a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and today, Nikki Starr, my excellent producer, and I will be talking to a rising young star who recently earned a Breakthrough Actor Award at the 2008 Method Film Fest for his performance in a wonderful new movie called Harrison Montgomery, which is directed by Daniel Davila and also stars Oscar winner Martin Landau. Our special guest today is Octavio Gomez Berrios, and remember that name, for you'll definitely be hearing more about him after Harrison Montgomery receives a nationwide release. Nikki, isn't it exciting to interview young actors who are on the brink of stardom?
Oh, yes. I had the pleasure of listening in earlier, and I am very excited, and it is a pleasure to have him here.
You are so right, Nikki. And before bringing Octavio on, I wanted to say something about Harrison Montgomery, which is the film that he's receiving so many raves for. I'm not a big fan of movies about drug dealers or about their deals gone wrong. But, Nikki, this one is an exception, because it focuses on a very reluctant drug dealer played brilliantly by Octavio. The part of the movie that I think you would enjoy the most, Nikki, is because it follows a character named Ricardo. That's who Octavio plays. And he's a talented young artist struggling to survive. And you know how that is, don't you?
Oh, yes.
To survive in one of San Francisco's worst neighborhoods. He lives in a rundown hotel, has trouble paying the landlord, and tries to stay one step ahead of his boss. And he's really in trouble with his boss, and he owes a lot of money that he may have to resort to thievery to take care of. And he's not even getting along with his girlfriend. So you can see this situation seems hopeless.
Absolutely.
It's hopeless. But someone has her eye on him. It's a 13-year-old girl named Laddie, and she's very unhappy over her mother's relationship with an abusive boyfriend, so she befriends Ricardo, and it's the kindness between these two, plus a secret known only to Harrison Montgomery, a reclusive old man played exceptionally well, by, as only he can, by Martin Landau, who lives in the hotel, that leads to the movie's magical ending. I absolutely love the ending, Nikki, but I don't want to give anything away. So I'll simply say it proves that even in the darkest of our reality, magic is possible. Now, prior to Harrison Montgomery, some of our listeners may have seen Octavio in several different movies. Crash, for one, which, as you know, is a favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Choking Man, which I think is going to be released on DVD in August, and maybe Octavio can tell us about that. Company Man, Famous, and Mambo Cafe. He's also been in a number of TV shows like Law and Order, Carnival. Oh, I was so upset when Carnival was dropped from HBO. And he's been in Third Watch. His upcoming movies include Gorilla, starring Benicio del Toro, and El Camino del Diablo with Paz Vega. So now, it's my great pleasure to introduce our guest. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Octavio.
Hi, Betty Jo. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're so happy that you could be with us today. I've been so eager to talk with you ever since I saw Harrison Montgomery, and I want to congratulate you on your Breakthrough Actor Award. That's awesome, isn't it?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's great. It's a great film. I'm very proud of it, and thank you so much for supporting it.
Well, it's my pleasure. What drew you to the Harrison Montgomery project?
I first heard about it from my manager at one point, and I met with Daniel maybe, I don't know, 6 months. Daniel Davila, the director of the film.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of months earlier while they were still getting their money together and stuff. And when I met him, you know, he just seemed so passionate about it. You know, he had a fable and it was an interesting film, something that, you know, I feel like we need a little bit of magic in our lives, and that just felt right at the time, you know. I just come from another film, which was a lot different, and I just thought this character just seemed like the complete polar opposite of what I just played. And so it just all seemed to fall into place perfectly, you know?
Well, I'm glad they found you and you found the project because...
No, I'm glad as well.
It was a fit. It was a perfect fit. But I mentioned a little bit about Ricardo, the character that you play in Harrison Montgomery, but how would you describe Ricardo?
I think that that particular character is just a guy that hasn't found his way in the world yet. You know, he's at a crossroads in terms of everything. You know, he's having problems with his girlfriend. He's not getting his art out there. He's thinking, you know, dealing pot, which. You know, and I'm glad that you mentioned the idea of not being a fan of the drug dealer thing, just because I'm not a fan either. You know, as a Latino actor, I just didn't want to fit right into that stereotype that, you know, we sometimes are given. And Ricardo didn't seem to me as a drug dealer type. He just seemed like as a guy who's sort of a slacker, and he's just trying to get by, you know? And so, you know, it's funny because I'm originally from New York, so coming into San Francisco to do a little bit of the research, I found that, you know, pot is not a big drug per se, that it doesn't really have the stigma that it has in other places, that it has in San Francisco. And it made me feel a little bit better even, because it's just this guy who's... sort of, you know, I'm not condoning his behavior, but he's just doing recreational drugs to get by. And I think there was much more to him than that. You know, he's an artist and he's just trying to find his way. That's what was interesting to me, and it seemed challenging as well.
That's an excellent description of Ricardo. I got the impression while I was watching the movie that here was a guy who was trying very hard not to give up on his art in spite of everything that was around him. And even these little sketches that he would draw of the characters in his life seemed to just come to life on screen. Didn't you feel that as you watched the film when it was finished?
No, I watched the film. It's hard to watch yourself, you know, but I if you think about Ricardo and you know, the way that he loves the art, how passionate he is about it. You know, it's kind of I think it's great. Yeah, it's very infectious.
What did you think about? In fact, I thought you were just terrific throughout the film. But one scene got to me in particular, and it was when Ricardo went to see that was his father, right, that he went to see?
Yeah, I'm so glad you say that. You know, I get that a lot, actually. The person who plays my father, his name is Juan Davila. He's actually Daniel's father.
Really?
And, yeah, and you know, he's great. And he, when we first got to meet in San Francisco, I just, you know, I wanted to spend a little bit of time with him, and he just had so much to give and really generous spirit, and so it was really easy to work opposite him. You know, it was a great joy, actually.
That scene just could almost be taken out of the movie and just be presented as a classic interaction between the prodigal son and the father.
Yeah, no, I just, uh, I, uh, I, I really enjoyed working with him. He just he had a lot inside of him, you know, and I felt like I was talking to my dad. It was very, it's kind of an odd feeling, you know.
It was very, very realistic and
Oh, I'm sure Daniel and him himself, he would love to hear that.
Oh, well, when you talk to them, be sure to let them know.
I definitely will. No, I tell you, a lot of people have come up to me with that specific scene.
And that and Daniel's father has a lot of screen charisma.
Yeah.
Do
yes,
you
he
think
does.
He was
it's
he
just,
in any
career.
Other movies? Any other movies before that?
Well, I think Daniel likes to say that he's not an actor, but I guess he's a businessman. So, but clearly you could see that he is, you know, a great one actually.
Yeah, they should capitalize on that, I think.
They will, I hope.
Runs in the family. Well, I was wondering, what's the most satisfying experience you had playing Ricardo in Harrison Montgomery? You've already talked about it being a challenging role, but what was the most satisfying part of
you know,
playing
I think,
that character?
I think, you know, when you make a film, you know, it's... all the planets have to align, and it's almost a miracle anytime that things get finished, you know, and get done, and then they come out, and you're, like, so shocked that it actually came together, you know. And it was just satisfying to just to be a part of a collaboration, just to be a part of a team, just to be able to work with these great people. You know, Martin Landau, I mean, what a gift, you know. The guy is magic, you know. And so you just sit there, and you just try to learn as much as you possibly can, and Melora Walters as well. It was just it was a great joy actually to work with those guys, you know.
Well, you had some wonderful people to work with. That's right.
It's easy when that happens, don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, did you and Martin Landau hit it off? Was it really fun working with him? Or
it was
or
fantastic. You know, we had some friends in common, and I think, and you know, the minute that I saw him, I felt like, you know, we just connected, you know. And so it was just what a professional, and the things he just learned, and even more offset, you know, the guy is just telling stories and. And you just are like in awe of him, you know. So
I think
amazing.
He's one of our best actors. But
this part
was quite unusual that he played, because actually he didn't say very much, did he?
No.
He didn't have to.
Excited, right? Exactly. He didn't have to. It was just, you know, Daniel tells me that you know, he did. Brought him the script, and the minute he read it, he was on board, you know. He just really liked it.
One of my favorite Martin Landau performances was, of course, the one he won the Oscar for, which was playing Bela Lugosi.
Yes,
in Ed Wood.
Fantastic.
And then to go from that to being in Woody Allen movies and all the Mission Impossible, all the different things he's done, he's very, very versatile, and I think his fans will be quite surprised to see him in Harrison Montgomery, because it's a very different kind of a role for him, I think.
I hope so. I hope that, you know, we get to share this movie with the rest of the people.
I hope so too, because I think it's one that you don't see a movie like this very often, and that's kind of the problem with mainstream movies in Hollywood. Some of them are just, you know, cookie cutter.
Right.
This one was very different, so I hope more people get to see it.
I think we're just plowing away, and the producers, and they're working really hard to make sure that it gets out there.
Oh, I hope so. I hope it does soon, or even in a DVD so that people can see it. But I know a widescreen release would be even more helpful, because it does have some scenes that will just blow you away on the widescreen, especially the ending, which I can't divulge, but it's just one of those kind of endings that needs to have a big screen, I think. I noticed one of my favorite actresses from the past had a small role in Harrison Montgomery, Diane Baker.
Yes, she was It was lovely because Martin Landau and Diane Baker were friends sometime, you know, many years ago, and I just for them to see them back and be on screen, and you know, she's amazing, as obviously many of us know.
Yes,
so
I hadn't seen her for a while, and she was, although she wasn't on screen very, very much, she was perfect for the part. And who is the young actress who played the little girl, the 13-year-old girl that
Maddie.
You befriended?
Her name is Krista Ott.
Krista
and,
Ott, what a find.
Yeah, what a find, this guy. I mean, she was terrific, and she, great little actress, and we hope, you know, we will be seeing her, a lot more of her soon, you know?
Oh, I do. I think so, too, because it's not very often that you find a child actress that has that much of a realism to her performance. So, and the two of you had such chemistry together.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we spent a bunch of time together, and I think that helped a lot, you know?
I think we have a caller. I'm going to take this call because I think it might be a surprise for you.
Uh-oh.
Hello, area code 323. You've reached Movie Attic headquarters with Octavio Gomez Barrios. Who's calling, please?
Hi, it's Daniel Davila.
Oh, Daniel Davila, thank you so much for calling. I was hoping that you would call, and congratulations for your wonderful Harrison Montgomery film. I enjoyed it
so much.
Did you have
that.
A question for Octavio or a comment?
Oh, he has a question for me.
Yeah, definitely. Octavio, how you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
I'm good. Good to talk to you.
Daniel was just at the HBO Latino Film Festival in New York City, which are very nice screenings that they had there showing the film.
Yeah, that's right. We had a good time out there. Good to see you out there. Spend some time. So I've been thinking about this, and you know, one of the things that I keep hearing over and over is how much people love your performance. And I just heard Betty Jo talking about the realism that Krista Ott brought to her performance, and I think that was mirrored in what you were doing, or rather, she really echoed the intensity and the focus that you brought. One of the things I'm curious about is, and we've never really talked about this, but what do you think it is, either in the script or in the process, that allowed you to bring so much of yourself? I mean, because I don't know how else to interpret it.
Right.
Because when I watch it, I just see, you know, I see so much depth in your eyes, and I see so much honesty there. Now, I know a lot of that is your craft. I know your training plays a part in that, but I also think that there's a fair amount of just your willingness to put yourself on the line. I'm just wondering what you think of that. Maybe what are your insights into either how you do that or why that's the way that people are seeing.
Yeah. Oh man, that's very kind. I feel that some of the other stuff hopefully would be pretentious enough and make it be magic, because then I feel like when you talk about it, it just kind of goes away. But you know, we did, as you know, we did a lot of, you know, as much research as we could do. We spent a bunch of time in a place that's the Tenderloin, which is it's not the most pleasant place to be at. But you get a lot of real life there. You know, you just can't help but you can't escape it. You know, there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of I don't know about crime, but there's a lot of drugs and drug addicted people. And I don't know how that cannot affect someone, you know. I felt that a lot of that did help, you know. I think, you know, it's one of those tough questions I don't even know how to answer, other than you just try to mirror whatever you see outside and in the world, I guess.
Well, that was a great question and a great answer, too. And Daniel,
thank you,
while you're on the line, will you be able to stay through the show? Because we might have some other questions for you.
Sure,
yeah,
happy to.
Oh, great. Well, I wanted to know why you have focused in on this magic theme and the magic in everyday life, because that was the thing that really got to me in this film. So why is that so important to you in your filmmaking?
I think more than ever, I think in the contemporary world, where we all rush around and we don't, we tend to close ourselves off to other people. And so magic, be it of the sort of fantastical variety or of the everyday variety where you actually connect with another person, is getting rarer and rarer. It's not something that we celebrate, at least not in this culture, as much as we used to. And so as a filmmaker, I think that if I have the opportunity to tell stories of personal transformation that involve people connecting with other people, you know, I think that's about as positive a thing as I can do. And I think the only way to really connect with other people and to experience the magic that's possible in relating to those around you is if you have an open heart, and an open heart to the reality of who you are, an open heart to the reality of who other people are. Because, you know, ultimately, these things that I'm speaking of, magic and community and connection, come about when we start to recognize that those around us are so similar to ourselves. I mean, human beings are not that different. I mean, there's so much that we share. And yet, because we're rushing around, because we're caught up in the things that we think are important, we miss those shared realities and tend to get caught up in how different we are. And, you know, that's one of the things that's so intriguing about the Tenderloin, is that it's a place where people are really living personal dramas out in the open. You know, and that's one of the things that gives it, you know, in spite of it being this sort of desperate place, there's a magic quality about it because there's an honesty to it, to people, you know, living out in the open what most of us tend to hide away and with our busy lives. You know, it's right there, which I should add the important caveat. This is not to glorify drug addiction or the desperate situations that these people find themselves in. You know, those are very serious. It'd be far too easy to sort of gloss that over and say, oh, aren't the poor and indigent fascinating people? But it is an opportunity, I think, to observe humanity at its most basic. And
well,
so for me, that's you know, that's why I come back to the magic. Is that magic derives from our ability to connect, to see things.
And that was where the kindness between the two characters led to the magic. I understand that you have formed a production company, and that you plan to devote your filmmaking career to making films of this nature. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think and yeah, absolutely. Momentum Cinema, we're devoted to those types of experiences. Now, our next project, which is called Graces of Shadow, is similar in tone in that it's a tale of redemption that deals with the same sort of themes of connecting, etc. But this notion of magic, both in community and in how we see film, is something that can extend. It's a broad concept. And so for us at Momentum, we're really interested in those types of films that really lead to that sense of, I don't know, seeing something that you haven't seen before.
So that can
encompass a lot of things.
Well, good for you. I see we have another caller, so let me get this person on the line and see what question he or she has. Hello, area code 607. You've reached Movie Attic headquarters. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Betty Jo. It's Jazz.
Oh, this is Jazz Shaw from Midstream Radio, and he's one of our regular callers and supporters. Thanks for calling, Jazz. Did you have a question for Octavio or for Daniel about Harrison?
I did. Even though I haven't seen the film, your description was very compelling. But the question I had, because this is one of my favorite genres, and they've been making them for a little while, and I hate to even call it a genre because, you know, it can cover so much territory. But my question is, isn't it difficult, or how difficult is it to build a story, a compelling story, where your heroes are kind of anti-heroes, where your protagonist is somebody who society at large, who's going to go watch the film, might not find to be that admirable of a character originally, somebody who has all these massive flaws, who might be doing drugs, might be engaged in violence and risky situations and things that a lot of the movie-going public might kind of be repelled by almost, and then develop the human side and kind of make them look positive without making them look like a role model?
That's a very good question, Jazz. Daniel, could you answer that or give us your reaction?
Yeah, I sure could, and I think in my answer there's an opportunity for Octavia to say a few things about his approach to the character, because I think
absolutely
it's critical to the success of it. I think there are two components to this. The first, and this is related to Octavia's performance, is that I don't think there's a person on this planet who sets out to be dislikable, you know, who sets out to be evil, if you will, or to be cast out of society. We all want to connect with other people. We want to belong. And so even when you have characters or individuals who are doing these things that are somewhat shady, at the core of them is this desire to be in a community, to not be cast out. The problem is that they're making poor choices, and it's a negative feedback cycle. So what that gets to is that you start with a character who, in spite of their situation, at their core values something about themselves. I don't think you could do this type of story if you had a character who really and truly despised themselves and wanted to destroy themselves, because it'd be a short movie. They'd, you know, take the elevator to the top floor, walk out the door, and jump off the balcony. It wouldn't be a very compelling story. It's, in fact, the tension between where the character finds himself and where he'd like to be that leads to the drama. So that's where you start. You start at the core of that. Then there are a number of things that you can do craft-wise in putting the story together and then executing it that can give the audience a sort of touchstone by which to understand the positive sides of these characters, because you have limited time and limited space within which to explore the character attributes. However, if you surround the character with characters that we do like and start to see how that character relates to these people, you get a deeper and richer sense of how they might function in society, the opportunities that they have once they start to make better choices, and ultimately that I think that gives you an opportunity to understand why they're likable, and it makes them sympathetic. In the case of Harrison Montgomery, we have the little girl and his relationship with her. Time and time again, you get to see that this character, played by Octavio, Ricardo Papa, is at his center an ethical, honest person who values the things that we all value or that most of us value, such as the innocence of a child. You also get to see that Ricardo interacts with his best friend, played by Brandon Scott O'Neill. The character's name is Maurice, and Maurice is not only clearly a good friend, but he's a passionate, likable person. And I think the whole thing starts with Ricardo's first interaction in the entire movie, which is that he's drawing, he's observing an indigent woman on the street, and it's his clear passion for his art and his focus on this fallen person. In that action, we get to see, A, that he's dedicated to something, which is something we can all identify with, and B, that he is interested in someone who is fallen even further than he has. So we start to value him in that way. And then I would say one other thing in terms of the story, which is that, again, at the outset of the film, we see him in conversation with his girlfriend who's breaking up with him, and we see the passion that she has for him and the hope that he'll get his life together and take it in a positive direction. All of those things cast this character in a positive context, so that while he's not making positive choices and decisions necessarily, we see that in his history and in the essence of who he is, there are lots of positive attributes.
Well, I was going to ask Octavio, and I think this is a good segue, that great answer, but it was a good segue into asking Octavio if the director did anything special to help you with your performance. And I think I know what the answer is, Octavio.
Yeah, he totally did. You know, we worked together for a lot of, you know, a little – we didn't have that much time while doing prep, but, you know, we talked a lot about all these different aspects of Ricardo. We, you know, spent a lot of time in the Tenderloin, like I said, just,
you know, pointing out things, things that would be useful to me, things that could be tools to get to a deeper part of Ricardo. And, you know, so all of that completely helped me to get to that, you know, to that place where, I think that Ricardo, like Daniel says, you know, he's not he's not a bad guy by nature. I don't even think he's a bad guy, even if we like looked at him in the world around us. Like, he's not really a guy. He's not that drug dealer. He's not that guy that will come and rough you up. He's just a guy who's trying to get by. He's making a lot of bad choices. You know, he's from a good family. You see, when he goes back home, you know, he's not from the Tenderloin. He's just there because he just got kicked out of his girlfriend's house. You know, and so all of these things make together all the, you know, put together these layers, and there's a real human being at heart, you know. And so I think with Daniel, working with Daniel in that aspect just totally helped out create this character.
Well, it certainly did work, and this is a little bit off the subject, but I know our listeners are wondering, Octavio, why did you decide to become an actor, and are you glad you did?
Oh, I'm not so sure I'm glad I did, but I...
but you're glad, aren't you, Daniel?
I'm definitely glad.
I don't know, I feel like there's nothing else I can do, you know? I try to get away, but I just can't. I love the idea of maybe sharing with people, you know, and you could be pretentious enough to think that you can touch someone, one person, I think that's enough, you know. So I guess it's just, you know, sharing. I mean, I feel like that's, you know, if you could share, that's the reason why I think I like to do it.
I'm glad you became an actor too, and I know we're going to be hearing more about you. Could you take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing with the Steven Soderbergh film with Benicio
Del Toro?
Oh
yeah, I mean, sure. The film just premiered at Cannes, at the film festival, and then I'm working. They've been changing it around. So it's a part of two films, and so one of them is called Guerrilla, and the other one is called The Argentine. I was supposed to be in Guerrilla, I think now I'm in The Argentine, and now I think Steven wants to put them all together. I play this character Otto. He's Che's personal chauffeur, and he's during this section of the United Nations where we come, and he addresses the General Assembly. It's a beautiful. I mean, I haven't seen the full film, but it's an honor to be a part of that. They were amazing. Benicio Del Toro was just truly kind, and so is Steven. I mean, Steven has helped in so many other ways that separate from that film. I had done another film where he was just a true champion of it and just did everything he could to put it out there for us, you know. So I'm really grateful to be a part of that movie.
When will the other movie that you were talking about, Choking Man, be out on DVD?
Choking Man, yeah. Choking Man was, we had a limited release in theaters in November. And you know how that goes with independent films. We're just even so lucky to get to the theater. And then, now we've been picked up, and it's going to be out actually on DVD August 5th. So please check it out. It's a beautiful story as well.
What part do you play in?
I play a guy named Jorge, who's an acutely shy dishwasher, and basically the idea of it is that it's sort of a metaphor for this immigrant who's choking. He's obsessed with this. In New York, you have these choking victim posters. In case you are choking, you get the Heimlich maneuver. It just shows you how to do it in every single restaurant, and he's sort of obsessed with this thing. And it has a life of its own, sort of. And it's a metaphor for him, like choking in the American dream, choking in his loneliness. And it's got a little bit of magic as well. I think that seems the current trend for me, the magical films. Please, it's a beautiful film as well.
And that's August 5th.
August 5th, yes. It was directed by this guy, Steve Barron, who it's a, like a video meister, and he directed a ton of films, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Coneheads, so, you know.
We'll be sure
yes.
to get that then. And
yes, yes.
I wanted to
and
ask
please,
Daniel.
Please, you have to check out Harrison Montgomery. We have to get this out there to you guys.
Oh, absolutely. That needs to get out so people can see it. And Daniel, what kind of a future do you predict for Octavio?
Oh, big. I mean, I think the critical thing is for people to see his work, and that's something, you know, we're working on tirelessly. Because if you look at Choking Man, if you look at Harrison Montgomery, it's a tremendous range that this guy has. You know, we cast him based not just on Choking Man, but on another little film he did called Cuco Gomez is Dead, a short film which also showed him in a very different light. In Choking Man, he says, Octavio, how many words do you say in the entire film?
Yeah, I think we did like a character breakdown. It's probably like 16 words or something.
He says 16 words in the entire film, and the movie is about him. He's the central character. He's on
wow.
screen for the whole thing. And he holds the screen. I mean, he holds these scenes such that, you know, as you watch this, your heart goes out to this guy who's struggling to make it in the United States. That contrasts greatly with the character Ricardo Papa and Harrison Montgomery. And so I think that, you know, as people come to see what he can do, I mean, the work speaks for itself, and I have complete faith that Octavio can hold any role that's thrown his way, and I think people will recognize that soon.
I think your prediction is correct, and I wanted to ask both of you if there are certain actors and directors who have inspired you. Octavio, do you want to start with that?
Sure. I mean, I think how many do we have enough time, you know, because there's tons. And,
how about three?
You know,
how about top three?
I've been very fortunate. You know, I had a chance to work for Sidney Lumet once, and that was just unbelievable. He was just, you know, just a master at his craft, and, you know, he's late 80s or mid 80s at this point, and it's just unbelievable that he's still going and just an inspiration. You know, and I've you know, every single, I've been very lucky to work with really good directors, so I'm very proud of that. I'm honored. And the actors, I love so many. I like Dustin Hoffman and Al Pacino, I guess. It's the Benicio del Toro is great, you know, Sean Penn. Yeah, Johnny Depp, I don't know.
Oh, all right.
You
picked my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, those are great. Those are great selections. How about you, Daniel?
I have to agree with Octavio that if you're in this long enough, there's so many flavors that you like for different reasons. You know, growing up and learning about film, it was the filmmakers of the 70s, including Sidney Lumet. I mean, what a great filmmaker, Dog Day Afternoon. That's actually a film that Octavio and I spoke a lot about in prepping for this film,
yeah.
Just to get that sort of raw energy that Lumet was so good at getting out of Pacino. So, you know, those filmmakers, that whole class of filmmakers, contemporary work, I love what Michel Gondry, I love the collaboration between Michel Gondry and Charlie Kaufman in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That film just has a special place in my heart for really touching on what it is to be in love and the craziness. And that's a great example of a film that is magical. And that gets at that experience of just sort of opening yourself up. So I love that. And then, you know, Milos Forman made my all-time favorite movie, Amadeus. And
wow.
I've seen every film by Woody Allen. And then, of course, all the directors that you have to pay homage to, you know, the ones that you light a candle to at night, like Stanley Kubrick. And then they're the ones who just have taught me how to escape, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, Robert Zemeckis. Those, you know, just fun. So there's a whole host of filmmakers that have influenced me.
I like your choices, too. And I think it's time now to check with Nikki and see how things are going in the chat. Nikki, are there any questions or comments from the chat that you'd like to share with us?
Yes, first of all, what a great interview. Thank you, both of you. This has just been the one of the highlights of my career, seriously. Beautiful interview. Thank you.
Oh,
everybody wants to know where to see the movie, Harrison Montgomery, how to get it, how to see it, how to support it, how to support your production company, anything we can do.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic. Go to harrisonmontgomery.com. We'll be updating routinely as to the festivals it'll be in. We'll be in South America at the Cerro Latitude in Ecuador. We may be in a festival in Mexico, and there are a number of domestic festivals that we're talking to currently. In terms of distribution, we're in the final stages of negotiation for foreign sales, domestic sales, and digital rights. So all of that will be updated, I would say, you know, people to start checking in the next couple weeks. But I would say in the next 2 months, we'll have all that information for you. Again, www.harrisonmontgomery.com.
Oh, well, thank you
thank you.
Chat to asking that very, very important question. Wonder, do you have any predictions about when it might be available as a DVD?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't. I would say early next year would be my guess. So in January, February, depending on domestic theatrical.
But it is playing at various film festivals, correct?
That's right. The one that we currently have scheduled is in South America. So if anybody happens to be in Ecuador in November, October, that's a shoo-in, and we're still on the line for a number of domestic. Again, that'll all be updated at harrisonmontgomery.com, and there should be
some
news coming up.
Go to that site, then it'll give the news about where Harrison Montgomery can be seen.
Yeah, and you can check out our trailer as well and a number of our production stills and all the rest to get a feel for the flavor of the film.
Well, it's certainly getting rave reviews from people who have seen the film at the festivals. I was just reading one by Jonathan Hickman of E! Insiders, and I love this. He said, "By merging fantasy with harsh, gritty reality, Davila succeeds in provoking affirming thoughts about dreams and off-kilter mindset." And he loved, as I did, the little artistic sketches that were done in the film. You know, I am so sorry to say that our time is almost up, but Octavio and Daniel, both Nikki and I, want to thank you for being such splendid guests, and we wish you continuing success and hope you'll come back to talk about your next projects.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we'd love to come back.
Great. We'll definitely be in touch with you. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with this show. Special thanks to Nikki Starr for everything she does to help make Movie Attic Headquarters happen, and to Octavio and Daniel for visiting us today. Thanks also to everyone who listened live or to the archives or took part in the chat, and to Jazz Shaw for calling in with that great question. And we really appreciate your participation, everyone. But remember, I won't let you go, dear listeners, until I remind you not to let your life become worse than a horror movie by falling victim to identity theft, the fastest growing crime in America. Instead, go to lifelock.com, that's LIFELOCK.com, and sign up for the important protection services offered there. You'll receive a 10% discount if you use our special code, REALTALK, REELTALK, and it's all one word. Now, as usual, to close the show, here's the talented A.J. Daniels with a song Nikki and I dedicate to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
much I love you.